Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and now very excited to bring in a special guest hosting weekdays on the Team 980, former Commanders beat writer Craig Hoffman on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's up, Craig?
What's up, Adam? How are you, man?
We are overwhelmed with topics to talk about today, but you know, I asked my guest this. What do you think the fans want to hear us talk about right now? Is it the stadium deal in RFK or the five picks they made over the weekend?
That's a great question, and I'm trying to figure that out before 4 o'clock when my show starts. And hilariously, Adam, I spent my morning at Mystics Media Day, so I'm having to like flip the switch because I spent the morning talking to Sonia Citron and Kiki Iriafin and Ali Edwards and Shakir Austin. So it's been an extra plentiful bevy of topics for me today, but I'm prepared to go in either direction. I probably feel a little more prepared for the draft, still catching up on all the RFK stuff, so I'll follow your lead, sir.
So we just had a caller who I thought made a really good point. He thinks that with Adam Peters' first three selections, you kind of affected multiple positions. With the Connerly pick, he was saying, well, now that helps with Brandon Coleman. Amos helps with Sainristil still. Jalen Lane, he could play wide receiver and special teams. What do you think about those three picks?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, like, they have visions for these guys, and I think that also included visions for the guys they had last year, and, maybe some of those visions have changed, I think positively and negatively. Clearly, they wanted Brandon Coleman to get a shot at tackle. They liked enough what they saw there to be like, he's probably going to be our right tackle moving forward, and then all of a sudden, Josh Connerly is available, and it's like, oh, sick, let's move him to guard. Presuming that's what's going to happen. They'll let those guys compete. I presume that Connerly will win the right tackle job, and Brandon Coleman is going to get to go play left guard next to Laremy Tunsil for hopefully, you know, the next 5 years, and both of them can play at a high level. I think definitely Sainristil, the plan was to cross-train him outside, but to have him ultimately be an interior nickel player. And the way free agency rolled and the way some, you know, obviously the outside corner position went last year, they were like, wow, this guy actually can play outside. And they were going to go into this year with him on the outside and Jonathan Jones on the inside. And then Trey Amos was available, who they never thought would be available at 61. And it lets you do the thing with Sainristil that you want. And then Lane's a little bit of a different case, I think, just because like he's a wide receiver gadget guy who's going to continue to develop a receiver, and he'll play like he'll be your kick returner, your punt returner specifically. And I don't know how much that affects anything else other than, you know, you don't have to go do the Jamison Crowder thing again. And I love JMO, so I'm all for always doing the Jamison Crowder thing. But, like, you've got some more pop on your return game, and it gives you a little more freedom there and some different options. It also gives you a backup for Debo. If you're going to spend all this time installing the Debo package of plays, what happens if Debo has to miss a week? Well, now we just run some of that same stuff for Jalen Lane, and we have some options. So I definitely like what they did. I think the first two picks probably hit more than the third one in the way that caller described, but they're all good picks, all good things.
Yeah, it was not a fun season to cover Virginia Tech Hokies, but Jalen Lane was certainly one of the biggest bright spots. I mean, just he's a special team star and a yak guy, really shifty. Get him the ball in open space, he'll make people miss. Let's go back to the offensive line, and maybe we ask you this, Craig. How would you rank the offensive line that started week one last year, and how would you rank the offensive line that you presume will start week one this year?
It's a good question. It's hard to answer because, you know, these guys are still young, right? So Connerly, I think, ultimately will be better than, say, what Andrew Wiley was last year. But week one, Andrew Wiley might be the better NFL football player because Josh Connerly never played an NFL game. So last year, like, 6 out of 10. Like, it wasn't the 2 that people thought it was, but it also wasn't good. You know, Nick Allegretti wound up leaving a lot to be desired. Coleman, you know, I guess, you know, if we're going real technical, right, Cornelius Lucas started week one last year. But I think this year, like, Laramie Tunsil, massive upgrade. You go from a swing tackle backup guy in Lucas or a rookie in Coleman to arguably the best left tackle in all of football. That's worth at least a point or two on its own. You know, if Coleman can be a good guard, like, that's worth a significant amount of points over Allegretti. Biotish is Biotish. You know, you take a hit because you're going to be playing either probably Allegretti or Andrew Wiley maybe at right guard in place of Sam Cosmi because he's not going to be back. But long term, that Cosmi is an all-pro or all, you know, Pro Bowl-level guy. And then at right tackle, yeah, we'll see what Connerly is, but I anticipate him being really good. So, you know, long term, once everybody's healthy and got a little experience under their belt, like, that could be an 8 or a 9 offensive line. Like, they could be really, really, really good.
I love to hear that, Craig, and it feels like the correct way I should have asked that question was week one of last year versus who we expect to play January of this year, because you're right.
Right.
You know, Connerly's going to take him some time, but I think by January, Cosmi will be back. Connerly could be starting. Coleman, Biotis, and Laramie Tunsil, you're talking about a legit offensive line. Craig, can you kind of chime in on...
Well, real quick, Adam, if I could. Also, think of the depth. Like, guys that were backups or starters are now backups. Like, Allegretti and Wiley probably are going to make the team. Those are your backups? Like, that's the other thing, because when you talk about January, the chances that you get through the season with all 5, like, that's hard to do in the NFL. But now you have real quality depth, and that's where great teams are made.
Yep, and then Craig's speculating on Cliff Kingsbury leaving that note for Adam Peters here. I mean, look, I think a lot of people could have thought that Cliff wanted another wide receiver or a star running back. He wants offensive line. Kind of makes me feel like he was tired of having all these guys chip before they ran their routes.
For sure. I mean, Cliff, the lack of offensive line talent made Cliff's job a lot harder last year. And he did a remarkable job game planning around the lack of talent. And again, was the lack of talent as severe as, you know, it was 2 years ago, or was made to look 2 years ago? Absolutely not. This wasn't the worst offensive line of the NFL, but, like, being average means you have to chip. You have to be creative. There's, you know, limited amount of drop back. There's just stuff you can't do. And that's not to mention the struggles that they had later in the year running the football. And so now you have some real, real grinders. You have guys that are great. I mean, that's Tunsil. Tunsil's good in the run game. Tunsil's great as a pass blocker. And to know, like, we basically never have to chip on with our left tackle. We just leave him on an island, we're good. It opens up the amount of stuff you can do in the pass game because you have different protection calls available to you. You have, you know, on a baseline level, like you just said, you know, if each guy, there's only 5 eligibles on a play. So if you have to have a guy stay in, you're at 80% of your capacity. You have 2 guys that chip, you're starting each play with 60% of your receivers. Like, I'm not great at math, Adam, but that's not good. Give me 100%. And so that's going to allow this offense that to just do a lot more stuff. And obviously, as an offensive coordinator, the exciting is the one who designs and implements the stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to help Jaden, you know, release the ball quicker, do some more dump-offs into the flat rather than squeezing it downfield, because guys are running actual routes rather than chipping and then going out to run their route. Craig Hoffman with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Craig, let's get to the tough question, which is this defensive line good enough for them to get back to a conference championship? Craig? It was too tough of a question for him to answer, Stubb. I mean, he didn't want to go into a rant about Cleland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong. Nobody wants to talk about those guys. Let's see if we can get Craig back on the hotline here. I mean, look, Adam Peters will argue that they brought in guys that they think can do the job at edge rusher. I just know the fan base is a little upset. Craig, do they have a defensive line that can get to a conference championship game?
I mean, I think they do, because I think it's better than last year, and they got to the conference championship game last year. Now, does that mean that it's a strength? No. I definitely think that if the board falls differently, they're taking an edge rusher potentially in round one. Maybe not. I mean, they Adam Peters said that, you know, they were sweating the Connerly pick from the time that the Bears were on the clock at 10. And so if that's the case, maybe he truly was their best player on the board. But I think that they would have loved to come out with an edge in this. The way the board fell, it didn't really work that way, and they're going to have to make do. But if your back-end coverage is better, that allows you to do more stuff with pressure. I mean, Kane Medrano is a very, very interesting guy at that what was it, fifth or sixth round pick that they took him with. Super duper athlete who can probably play a little bit of edge and add some speed, but also can, you know, learn from Frankie and Bobby on how to blitz. He's also just ridiculous in coverage for, like, linebackers typically don't come into the NFL and you're like, oh, you can cover. That dude can cover in the NFL because he's a former receiver and he's been in space before, and he's a good enough athlete to run with guys. And so that could free up Frankie to be doing some different stuff and Bobby to do some different stuff. And so, yes, their edge rushers are not great in terms of pass rush, but I do think they'll also be, like, the guys they did bring back are pretty solid run defenders. Like, Dietrich Wise is a really good run defender, and so if it's him, if it's Dorrance Armstrong, if Cleveland Furl is now a backup instead of a starter, Jonte Jean-Baptiste takes a jump, and not to mention there's guys that are still out there. Like, Za'Darius Smith is still out there, and I definitely think he's a name that they could look at to bolster this room in this post-draft segment of free agency. They could just be in better down and distances to get some pressure as well. You know, last year you're in a lot of third and twos because you gave up 6 yards running on first down.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And now all of a sudden you're third and eight, and now you can pin your ears back and go. And so I think the defense is a better as a whole. The back end being better if Amos is good and, you know, that Marshawn is a better version of Marshawn Lattimore. Like, that stuff will help your pass rush. And then hopefully year three of the project, you can go find a premier edge rusher, whether it's in the draft or free agency, to really take this defense to the next level.
Yeah, I don't think they're done yet in terms of acquiring edge rushers. Like you mentioned, there are guys still available. And I think Adam Peters would argue that a lot of, you know, the touchdowns we gave up last year were issues in the secondary. I mean, how many times did this team have a third and long and then, oh, it's pass interference, so they give up a first down? I mean, I think that Adam Peters would argue the secondary led to them giving up more points than, you know, 1,000 cuts of a running back destroying them.
No, definitely, too. I mean, there are how many times that they could have gotten off the field last year and, you know, right. Benjamin St. Juice, who's having a good game, decides now's the time to change that. And you're like, dude, Can you not do this on third and 10? Like, what are we doing? Where the holds or the hands to the face when he's not even involved in the play. I mean, the Forbes nightmare earlier in the year. And that's the thing. Like, the hole was so deep that Adam had to dig out of that there was just a dearth of talent in a lot of places, and they had to make choices. And they, I think, what was a logical choice last year to not really address corner because it had been addressed in the previous draft. St. Juice fit a profile of player, long, rangy, good movement skills that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. had had success with in the past. And then they were like, let's see if we can coach these guys up. And once they realized the answer was no, they go trade for Lattimore, and obviously they address it this year in the draft. So, you know, to think that they were going to get everything done in 1 year was ridiculous. They still made the NFC Championship game. 2 years actually was, I think, too much to ask. And now we're, you know, I think they're in a great place for this year. I think they'll be really competitive. But then can they get one more draft of really solid football players and address those final positions of need? And I think that then says, okay, the foundation is set for what we want this team to be for the Jaden Daniels era. Let's see how many of these guys pan out and are here for the entirety of it.
Craig, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate it.
You got it, Adam. Thanks, dude. See ya.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. I want to challenge the listeners right now. Find me a game in which Washington lost because they couldn't stop the run. Week one last year, Evans goes off for 200 yards. Tampa Bay wins 37-20. Week six, we lose to Baltimore. Derrick Henry had a good game. Zay Flowers killed us with 132 yards. Three-game losing streak. Pittsburgh throws it deep to Mike Williams. Philadelphia wins 26-18 because A.J. Brown went nuts. And then Dallas won with a backup quarterback because we couldn't stop them at all. We lost games this year, yes, because we weren't great at stopping the run, more because of the explosive plays they gave up in the secondary. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We'll get back into the Commanders in a second here. Kyle Ronick from the Burgundy Zone podcast, who came on the show a few weeks ago, and he did correctly predict that Jalen Lane would be selected by the Washington Commanders. So we'll give him a chance to chime in about the draft coming up in about 15 minutes. But I wanted to take this time right now. I mean, there's so much going on in the sports world. We haven't mentioned the Caps and their win yesterday, the fantastic weekend that the Washington Nationals had with their two comeback wins on Friday and then on Sunday. But I've been watching NBA basketball. Let's go out on the fast break with AWOD, talking all things postseason hoops.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a fast break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the fast break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
So, Stubb, I need you to do me a favor here. There is usually a Sharpie in the building or one of those markers that will allow you to draw on our whiteboard. Write down, Adam, never trust the Milwaukee Bucks again. How did I make them a snake? 2 years in a row. They can't stay healthy. They're not good enough. Pacers win 129-103, and Damian Lillard suffers a torn left Achilles. I mean, just got to feel awful for him and for Bucks fans. He misses games late in March that knocks him out for the first two games of these playoff series here because he has deep vein thrombosis and a blood clot. He finally gets through the blood clot, plays in a game, and then his second game in, he goes down with a torn Achilles that will have him out for Game 5 of this series. It's all she wrote. Milwaukee's done. They're not coming back. And he might miss part of next season as well. Just an awful injury. I feel bad for Milwaukee fans and for Damian Lillard. I've been a fan of his for a long time. and I was really hoping he'd be healthy just so we could get a bit of a series here. But Pacers win 129-103. They're up 3-1 now. Celtics take a 3-1 commanding lead on the Magic, 107-98. Tatum returns with 37 points. So I think the only question for the Celtics in their postseason run is, can they be fully healthy when they get past the Eastern Conference first round, second round, and to the Eastern Conference Finals? How good was that Lakers-T-Wolves game? It was fantastic. It was down to the wire. Anthony Edwards was a man possessed all game long. 43 points to lead the T-Wolves to victory, 116-113. He was hitting everything. He was 5 of 10 from three-point range. Got to the free throw line, hit 14 of 17. 9 rebounds, 6 assists. And, oh yeah, he also got a great game from his running man down low, Julius Randle, who had 25 points. And he hit 3 big threes in this game. And it was too much for the Lakers, who had 23 from Rui, 27 from LeBron, 38 from Luka Doncic. But it comes down to not Luka. They trapped him. Not LeBron. They doubled him. He kicks it to Austin Reaves in the corner at the buzzer. Off the back of the rim. No good. Lakers lose game 4. Minnesota with a commanding 3-1 series lead. Game 5 in L.A. But they're going to need to win 3 straight to advance out of the first round. So just a fantastic series between the T-Wolves and the Lakers. And it's just been a lot of fun to watch. Pistons, Knicks as well. And the NBA owes all of Detroit an apology. They got mugged. They got robbed at the end of the game there. It was obviously a foul on Josh Hart. A foul on a three-point shot that would have been given the Pistons 3 free throws to make 2 to win the game. Instead, no call. Knicks prevail. Controversial no call. Now they have a 3-1 series lead with the next game, Madison Square Garden, on Tuesday night. But tonight's games, you have Game 4 between the Cavs and the Heat, and Game 3 between the Rockets and the Warriors. And that Rockets-Warriors series has been the other must-watch series in this year's NBA postseason. The Rockets, the young Rockets, with a bunch of players you've probably never heard of unless you've been locked into the NBA. Alperen Sengun, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr. They have this fantastic season, win 52 games, and are the 2 seed. But you run into the Golden State Warriors and their last dance with Steph Curry. They made a trade for Jimmy Butler, and they still have Draymond Green. And without Jimmy Butler, who hurt his gluteus maximus stub falling on his rear end and had to have an MRI, he misses Game 3. Steph goes off for 30-plus, gets some help from Buddy Hield as well, and the Warriors win. So Warriors have a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 tonight at home. They can take a commanding 3-1 series lead on the 2-seed Houston Rockets if they can get a victory tonight. So massive game for the Warriors, 10 p.m. tonight on TNT. And we're all wondering if Jimmy Butler will return. The latest reports are that Jimmy Butler is questionable. But they just got a win without him 48 hours ago. So I feel like the Warriors, at home here, should be able to get a win if Jimmy Butler can maybe give them, a good 15 or 20 minutes. I don't think you want to play him too much, but you want to get a few good minutes from him. So that's where we're at in the NBA postseason. NBA lottery. Monday, May 12th. It's going to be here before you know it. The Washington Wizards have 14% chance to win the lottery and get the number 1 overall pick. It is the biggest draft lottery in the nation's capital in 15 years. They've got to win this lottery. You're not getting a franchise-changing player, in my mind, at number 2 or at number 3. But at number 1, Cooper Flagg is what would make the Wizards relevant again. If you can envision a Washington Wizards team next year with Jordan Poole still as your point guard, Bob Carrington was your backup point guard, you got Bilal Coulibaly, the young Frenchman that you've drafted and developed. You drafted Keyshawn George and have developed him. You traded for A.J. Johnson and have developed him. And now Alexander Sarr with Vucevic still off the bench as well. So there's a lot to like about the young Washington Wizards group. And then you add the addition of Cooper Flagg. I think all of a sudden you go from losing games on purpose to trying to win games and maybe mess around and win 40-plus games with Cooper Flagg. That's how good he can be as a rookie in the NBA. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. Tris tweets me, AWOD, are you ready for it? Wolves Thunder Western Conference Finals. I should not have picked against the T-Wolves 2 years in a row. And the Lakers, man, they're just going to keep letting me down. I am not a Lakers fan, but I'm supporting J.J. Redick. And so I want the Lakers to get to the finals. I also think, like, this is what the NBA needs after an awful regular season where I don't know why you would have any interest in watching a game in which it's 130 to 125 and there's 103-point shot between the two games combined. But the postseason has been entertaining. Games that are like 94 to 85 defensive battles where every possession matters. And then this is what the NBA wants. Lakers-Celtics. Give us Lakers-Celtics. You know what they don't want? Cavs versus T-Wolves. There's a chance that happens. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck, and we've had a really good crowd here stopping by to pick up their free Commanders Rally towel. You can come here before 3 p.m., before the end of the show today, to get your free Commanders Rally towel. Thank you so much for showing your support to AWOD Radio here at 910 The Fan, Richmond's home for the Commanders. Stuff. We had Spider John stop by. We had Wade, who's been listening every day for a while, stop by. Robert, as well as Michael Phillips. So it's been a party here at Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck, and it is Burger Night, back like it never left, Mondays from 3 p.m. to midnight. Get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or a bacon and beer cheese, like I like to do, for $3.95. We head to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for our buddy Kyle Ronick from the Burgundy Zone Podcast. What's up, Kyle?
What's going on, Adam? The draft is now over, and I am very, very happy. How about yourself?
Absolutely. You know, I think we talked about this on Friday on my show, like, Connerly Jr. pick, I liked it, I didn't love it. Now that I've slept on it, had a whole nother weekend, if he ends up being a starting right tackle in the playoffs, it turns into a love it pick for me, an A-plus pick for me if he becomes the starting right tackle for the postseason. We'll talk about the later picks, but your thoughts on the first round pick of a tackle?
I absolutely love it. From the get-go, when Andrew Wiley restructured his contract, a lot of people were talking about him getting moved to guard. And my one issue with that was you have to look at our division and look at the defensive tackles that we have to face. And one of the issues with Washington last season was being able to run the ball against really, really good defensive fronts. And so by drafting Josh Connerly here at 29, which was the last tackle, startable tackle in the league, because it's hard to find those, what that allows you to do is moving Coleman to the inside, who has the mass, who has the strength, who has the ability, athleticism, to be able to go against those younger defensive, really good defensive lines that we're going to have to be facing. And so what this does, it creates one competition at guard. And so now until Cosme comes back, then your starting five is out there and you're good to go. But until then, you feel really good about having a competition at one guard spot and not two. And so by going to get Connerly, somebody that's 6'5", 311 pounds, very light on his feet, one of the great things he does is being able to pull, get out in space, and even in the track game for the run game. And you're talking about those quarterback run design runs to the outside with Jaden. Well, Connerly is somebody who has shown on film to be able to get outside, block out somebody in a really quick manner, and doesn't lose his balance, isn't like heavy on his feet and everything like that. He's able to be – he's almost like a ballerina out there. And for a guy that's 6'5", 311 pounds, that says a lot about him.
Kyle Ronick with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Round two, after you go offensive tackle, most of the fan base thought edge rusher. It has to be edge rusher. Adam Peters gets one for Joe Witt Jr., a defensive player, but helping the secondary with Trey Amos. I love the pick immediately because as I'm watching, Nick Saban starts going on a rant how much he likes this kid because he played at Alabama before Ole Miss. But I'm starting to think that Adam Peters views this roster last year as we lost games because the secondary more than the edge rusher position.
I think it's kind of opposite because with Trey Amos, he's 6'1", 195 pounds. Last season, AWOD, he had 13 pass deflections, and that just speaks to how he is at the catch point. He is very physical and in his routes, and he's very instinctive in zone coverage, being able to sniff out things with three interceptions last season. And this is a guy that, with the way that I look at it, is I was right there with you. I really wanted edge rusher. We talked about it before. But what it screams to me is instead of having the edge guys force kind of turnovers, what they're doing is they're kind of forcing coverage to be really good in order for their persistent rushers to be able to get home. And so that's one way to go about it, but also being able to add guys in the middle here who are very good against the run. And so I think ultimately what Trey Amos brings to you, a very physical guy, he's very instinctive. He ran a 4.43. He's not slow by any means, and he has 31-inch arms. So this is somebody that when you watch him on film, he has his hand in the way of the football at the catch point almost every single time. It makes it very a frustrating situation for any wide receiver that is on him at the moment. And with Trey Amos, I think that just like with Josh Connerly, it's able to move things around in that secondary. And he actually did a really good job against Mason Taylor when they played LSU at being able to knock the ball away from him. And so if you ever want to put him on a tight end, he'll be able to fit the bill.
Yeah, and I think I feel more comfortable with Amos going up against A.J. Brown than a Mikey Sainer still, who you can move now back to the slot. And Jalen Lane, who played last season at Virginia Tech, answers a special teams question immediately in my mind.
Absolutely. Last time I talked to you, I brought up Jalen Lane and the ability for us to use him as a punt returner, because without Jamison Crowder, we had questions. Jalen Lane is electrifying. Ran a 4.34, had 11 broad jump, a 40-inch vertical, very explosive athlete, underutilized at Virginia Tech, unfortunately, but this is somebody that Cliff Kingsbury, you just find a way to get him the ball. And even if you don't have to force him right away, he's going to make an impact on special teams right away. He's very good on screens. He has good vision of being able to stay behind his blocks, but also having the explosive agility to be able to get upfield in a quick manner that covers a lot of ground. And there was one play, Virginia Tech was first and 22. They threw a screen pass to him, and he converted the first down just by being able to navigate through all of his blockers and defenders for the first down. It just speaks to what his capability is. And I think this season we're going to be seeing him utilized a lot. That speed vertically, his route running is very crisp. His cuts are always on a straight line, and he has very good hands. At Virginia Tech, he didn't have the best quarterback play, sometimes inaccurate, but this is a guy who will turn around for the football. He'll be able to get yards after the catch, and that's somebody navigating in the middle of the field in that vertical seam route that Jaden loves to throw to. This is somebody that right away, day one, can make your offense better, and we're just adding speed to this offense, and that's music to my ears.
Kyle, any other thoughts about the 2025 draft picks the Commanders made?
Yeah, Jacory Kroski-Merritt from Arizona. He has an eligibility issue going back with Arizona, so he only played in one game against his former team. But when you watch him, he's very slippery. He's a one-cut kind of back, light on his feet, underrated as a pass blocker and as a pass catcher as well. That's somebody that can, on wheel routes, be able to get downfield for you. And we know from last season with Austin Ekeler that's something that Cliff Kingsbury and this offense really want to be able to scare a defense with. And so I think Jacory Merritt has a very good chance of being able to help this football team, if not this season, down the line. And they did this perfectly right. Everyone was screaming about getting running back high, and there was the names out there, Travion Henderson, everything like that. They sat and said, we have Anthony Lynn here, and they can see which traits that they like and go grab that guy. And somebody like Jacory, who missed last season with eligibility, didn't miss a meeting even though he wasn't eligible. He still went to every meeting, which screams that he's a football player, and that's exactly what this team needs. In the seventh round, somebody that is untapped in the sense of his last year here, I think that's somebody who can come in right away and be able to help this football team in a hurry.
Kyle, earlier today it was announced that Josh Harris, a $2.7 billion investment, the single largest private investment in D.C.'s history, will help activate the campus, deliver jobs, and spark an opportunity for D.C. and deliver the fans a new stadium at the site of RFK. Your reaction?
Absolutely love it. That was the only spot that you could go to be honest. You need that kind of scenic view of Washington, D.C. I've worked there a lot, and so whenever driving into the city, it really is a spectacle. And that's where the stadium should be. It kind of represent what makes up D.C., and we know this is a football town when it comes down to it. And I'm very happy for the Harris Group. I'm very happy for the fan base being able to come back home. This is a really special time for everybody in D.C. football because we have a franchise quarterback, we have a new ownership group, and we have a new stadium coming. This future is very bright, and I can't wait to be able to go back to the new stadium to be able to see how awesome it is, but also to be able to tailgate and see this football team because I think they're ready to win now.
Kyle, has Adam Peters built this roster into a championship roster?
I think so. Based on that they made it to the NFC Championship game, you could say that with the adjustments they have made, that they'd be able to make a really good mark on it. I do think they're missing one or two pieces, but that it's still something that with this football team, their strength is themselves. It's not just one player over another. They all working together, that kind of great mindset that they have, the camaraderie that they have. I think that this team is capable of winning the championship. It's just a matter of being able to, late in games, especially against Philly, being able to hang tough and be able to withstand the storm that comes their way, because last season that seemed to be an issue two of the three times versus Philly. And so looking forward, I think that we have the right guys in this football team, Adam, to be able to make the stretch.
Yeah, I think we're one off season away from being championship caliber, but like you said, they overperformed and made it to the conference championship this past year, so they certainly could do it again. Kyle, I really appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good one.
If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910. Does the Commanders now have a championship roster? Are we there yet? Do they need one more offseason? Have they done enough to get competent starters at all 22 positions? Your phone call's next. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We wanted to go around the National Football League, give you our thoughts on the rest of the 31 other franchises outside of the Commanders and what they did in the 2025 NFL draft with NFL Hits Offseason on The Fan.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the upcoming NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
Stubb, we have to start here with one name, one man's name. Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, obviously.
Did I pick the wrong Colorado Buffalo to hate on or what? A whole season long, I did not like Travis Hunter, who goes number two. Jacksonville trades up to swing big on the two-way player who could play corner and wide receiver. Shedeur Sanders did not go number 3, did not go number 9, did not go number 21, did not go in the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round. Ends up being a fifth-round pick. The Cleveland Browns, I mean, what the hell is Cleveland doing? The weirdest draft I've ever seen. They draft 2 running backs, 2 quarterbacks, and a D-tackle?
Yeah.
Just, wow.
Truly an incredible organization all around.
Yeah. So now I can't wait to see Dylan Gabriel, third-round pick, introduce himself to Shedeur Sanders, fifth-round pick, as they compete with Joe Flacco to see who's going to be the starting quarterback
for
the Cleveland Browns.
Let me get Kenny Pickett to there. And technically Deshaun Watson is on that roster.
I know. It's kind of crazy. What did you make of the Giants moving back into the first round, and they take Jackson Dart, hoping this Ole Miss product will be like the previous Ole Miss product, Eli Manning, who played quarterback for them for a long time?
I think the time kind of told that that might not have been the right decision, because there was never anything of a run on quarterbacks, and I don't think another quarterback was taken for quite some time, and I don't think Jackson Dart was that crazy of a guy to go after. I love that they got Abdul Carter, and I love that they got Scadabo. I think those are both really fun players, but it just seems like it, in retrospect, seemed like the wrong decision, even if that was their guy.
Yeah, I mean, you trade up for him, and then you don't see another quarterback go for maybe an entire round, basically. I mean, I guess Tyler Shough goes to Louisville, from Louisville to New Orleans. That was another head shaker there, right? Like,
yeah, that's QB3.
I can't believe he went that quick. Like, what?
Yeah, the third quarterback in the draft is Tyler Shough?
Yeah, and Mel Kiper went on a rant about how the NFL has never been able to value the quarterback position and to actually get it right. He's on to something there. I mean, Tom Brady's the biggest example of that, right? I mean, how late did he go in the NFL draft that he was taken in? So it is interesting in terms of where the quarterbacks went. Richmond's own Travion Henderson goes in the second round to New England, and I think that's a perfect landing spot for him. I'm so excited for that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Devastatingly, my guy Bashal Tootin went to Philly.
Yeah.
Like 3 picks after a Washington pick. For a second, I thought we were going to take this is APR to Philly. I thought we were going to get him for a sec.
No, but you got to be excited about Jalen Lane coming to the Commanders. And he could start. Like I said this earlier, I think day one, he's the best punt returner in the building.
Yeah.
He's probably wide receiver 5. But he might be better than Luke McCaffrey already at wide receiver. I mean, Luke McCaffrey was a quarterback.
Yeah. To correct myself real quick, Tootin got picked up by Jacksonville. APR went to Philly.
Yep. Tyler Warren goes 14th overall to the Colts. We had an upset caller because now they have 2 Richmond products in Mo Ali Cox, who played basketball at VCU, and Tyler Warren.
Way later than he should have gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of still shocked that Chicago went Colson Loveland over Tyler Warren at number 10. I thought for months we said they're going tight end at number 10. They ended up going with the tight end that we did not have at the top of our tight end board. I'm trying to think what other picks kind of blew me away from the weekend. I told you guys on Friday I did love Atlanta going out and getting 2 edge rushers because they were so bad at getting after the quarterback last year. Trey Amos falling to Washington. I still think that's an awesome pick. So many mock drafts that I did had him going in the first round, late in the first round. You know, Adam Peters was kind of blown away that he was available at 61 overall.
It really felt like the 2 places to trade back, the best possible guy for us to have there was there.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it turned out.
Right. And Stubb, I'm the only one saying this, but I really think around the NFL, they were colluding against the Commanders. Because think about it. If you're an owner, you're seeing, wow, we just got a brand new owner in Washington, and then the first season in charge where he's making moves, they get to a conference championship game. Don't trade with these guys. Don't help them out. Don't help them out. And so I do feel like the teams that called Washington and Adam Peters, they were told by their owners, hey, make sure you're not losing this trade here. Because they pulled fast ones on people. They pulled a fast one on the 49ers for Debo. Pulled a fast one on Houston for Laremy Tunsil. Still can't believe Laremy Tunsil. You know, they gave up their starting left tackle for a young team that has a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And so I just have a feeling that the offers he was getting in the first and second round, they didn't blow him away. Because teams were told, you cannot you know, go and be desperate and try to trade with Washington. We got to stay away from Washington. That was my take on this, because I just think that Adam Peters absolutely wanted to trade back. Why didn't he? Why didn't he trade back? He even talked about it. He said the we got offers in the first round. We got offers in the second round. That's where the most value is. Why didn't he do it? In my mind, it's because he was not getting good value in return. Teams were calling Washington, and they were offering not good enough. And so he hung up the phone, did what a good general manager does. I'll hang up the phone. I'll stand here, and I'll pick, and I'll be confident in my pick. And he took a guy that his offense coordinator liked in the first round and a guy his defense coordinator liked in the second round. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. We close the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. Home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on
game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day and it's game day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game day.
Game Washington day. Capitals come from behind, down 2-1, to win 5-2 thanks to two empty net goals. They now have a 3-1 series lead. They can close out their first-round series with the Canadiens on Wednesday. Yes, at home, Capital One Arena. On home ice, they can close out the Canadiens. It has been an awesome playoff series so far, rocking the red. So much fun to see Coach Carberry's squad, the mix of the veterans like Alex Ovechkin and the youth, Dylan Strome, Connor McMichael, playing so well. And they've given us a playoff sweat. And right now, we're leaning towards a second-round playoff sweat, and that is just so fantastic. There's too much, almost too much going on in the sports world, but I loved tuning into the Capitals game yesterday. Got home in time to watch the final two periods. No scoring in the first period that I missed. Capitals enter the third down 2-1. They score four goals in the third period to win 5-2. Duhamie with two goals. He was fantastic. Strome with a goal and an assist. Capitals win 5-2. We wanted to close out the show by giving a shout out to the pro baseball team, the Washington Nationals, who got a massive comeback win on Sunday over the Mets. You had to watch it to believe it. Down 7-1 in the seventh. They come back, score five runs, make it 7-6, and then two in the bottom of the ninth to walk off the Mets. Nats walk off the Mets in the ninth inning, win 8-7, and will continue that series against the Mets today. 4:05, first pitch with Trevor Williams on the mound for the 13-15 Washington Nationals. So they close out their series tonight at home, and then on the road to Citizens Bank Park for a Tuesday game against the Philadelphia Phillies. So the Nats are playing divisional games right now in the NL East, and thanks to the success over the weekend, they are still ahead of Miami and Atlanta. Barely. Miami and Atlanta both just a half game back of Washington, both at 12-15. Washington 13-15. Philly 15-13. They won two games in a row over the weekend to go back above 500. And the Mets, even though they're coming off the loss to the Nationals, and the Nats have a chance to win that series, already up 2-1 with the fourth game today, the Mets are 19-9 on the season. So every day on AWOD Radio is game day. We close the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night, and I'm excited for Rockets Warriors. Gimme Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler can play to take a commanding 3-1 series lead, they have to win tonight if they're going to win this series, because this one's at home before it goes back to Houston. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, Grant and Danny drive you home here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.